This is a test of the emergency podcast system. Remember, this is only a test. Hi, my name is Randy, and welcome to my 70th episode of Infotainment. And that deserves some fanfare at some point during the show. Wahoo! Grab your favorite drink and adult beverage and swig it all down at once. But 70 episodes, it's been a long bumpy ride, but I'd like to thank all my loyal fans from around the globe who stuck with me for more than a few episodes. But 70, it's hard to believe. Well, I'm your round mound podcast sound, and pound for pound, this is the best podcast around. Well, let's stop, drop, and roll right into the program. Well, the first item up for bids on the podcast is always right. This morning, my fridge was making some strange noises. It kind of dovetails into this next story. Where do you buy your groceries? I'll admit that most of the time I do shop at Walmart because usually I need something else that they carry. So I end up getting groceries there. But we do have a Fairway. I don't know if you have them in your area. I know they're prevalent in Iowa for the most part. Not open on Sundays, which is kind of unusual. But this story is not all grocery stores are created equal. Yeah, I know that. And we also have a Hy-Vee here in southwest Minnesota. And they're becoming more prevalent in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. According to a recent survey from Consumer Reports, more than 50,000 food shoppers have some serious complaints about specific stores. Surveyors complain mostly about grocery stores with too few checkout lanes and long lines, congested aisles, too few food choices, and a poor selection of local products. Some of the worst offenders include Target, Aldi, and Stop and Shop. I have never heard of Stop and Shop. I'm not sure where they're regionally located. But the worst of the worst, according to the survey results, is Walmart. The discount chain has competitive pricing. In fact, that's the one category where Walmart was highly ranked. The overall ranking, however, stems from low ranking in 7 out of 12 possible categories. This includes cleanliness, staff courtesy, checkout speed, produce, and meat quality. That's one area where I think they get beat by Fairway. And a local produce selection is not that great for Walmart. Here are the crazy thing Walmart's employees have seen at work. Well, maybe we'll have to check that out. That's another section. But Walmart has faced criticism in the past for their poor relationship with workers. Business Insider reports that the company even spent more than $18 million on ads in 2017 to highlight recent investments and changes in company policy. On the bright side, some popular stores did rank well. Fairway Stores, which we do have. I didn't know that. That ranked very well. Wegmans. I do not know where they're located. And Publix. Have not heard of them. Only about 23 to 30% of surveyors had a complaint about them, making them the least complained about in the ratings. Well, hopefully you have a good store where you're located at. Maybe I'll have to switch more to Fairway. But then, you know, you need something else, and Walmart has all the other stuff too. It's a big draw, but maybe go somewhere else for your meat. Let's take a hard left turn and go to this story. This story is too good to pass up. And only in Florida would you find something so bizarre to go on. But there's no date on the story. But a Florida couple arrested for selling tickets to heaven. A couple in Florida, Tito and Amanda Watts, were arrested a few days ago selling golden tickets to heaven to hundreds of people. They sold the tickets on the street for $99.99 per ticket. Told buyers the tickets were made from solid gold and that each ticket reserved the buyer a spot in heaven. Simply present the ticket at the pearly gates and you are in, like Flynn. Tito Watts said in his police statement, "I do not care what the police say. The tickets are solid gold. And it was Jesus who gave them to me behind the KFC." Yeah, where else would Jesus go on earth but behind a Kentucky Fried Chicken? It makes complete sense to me. And Jesus told me to sell them so I could get me some money to go to outer space. I met an alien named Stevie who said if I got the cash and together he would take me and my wife on his flying saucer to his planet that is made entirely of drugs. Well, I think this couple is finding enough drugs on this planet to do. Yeah, they're finding enough drug paraphernalia. I don't think they need to go to a planet that is made of drugs. "You should arrest Jesus because he is the one who gave me the golden tickets. I'm willing to wear a wire and set Jesus up." Well, you're not going to fool Jesus. He's going to know that you're wearing a wire. And in her police statement, Amanda Watts said, "We just wanted to leave Earth and go to space and do drugs. I did not do anything. Two sold golden tickets to heaven, and I just watched. Tito did that." Police said they confiscated over $10,000 in cash, drug paraphernalia, and a baby alligator. And I don't know where the alligator fits in this story, but maybe they convinced that they wanted to go to heaven to try the wide variety of drugs. Can't they just do the drugs and feel like they're in heaven on earth? Maybe this couple will seek some mental health evaluations. It's a funny story, though. Golden tickets to heaven. If only that were true. Now, if you can't trust a guy named Tito to sell you an authentic ticket to heaven, a gold one, as a matter of fact, who can you trust? I mean, he met Jesus behind a KFC, for Christ's sakes. I mean, gold tickets to heaven for $99.99? That's a steal. I'm sure even on QVC or HSN, they'd be selling them for more money. My next news item up for bids on this podcast showcase showdown is could come under the heading, "What Were They Thinking?" It's a story about YouTube stars getting rich making bomb threats and streaming it. For just a few bucks, anyone can pay people like Arab Andy to broadcast anything in public, and he makes hundreds of dollars a day doing it. YouTube streamer Jamal Haraz walked into a University of Washington sociology department meeting on May 31st with a phone and a selfie stick. Then one of the viewers paid Haraz to make a bomb threat. C4 has been successfully activated, a computerized voice said from the phone speaker, sending students and faculty running from the building. Haraz's phone then beeped a bomb countdown before playing the sound of an explosion. Yeah, that's great humor there, Haraz. Haraz didn't have a bomb or any connection to the university, but now he did have $4.20. That's how much any of Haraz's YouTube followers could pay him to make Haraz's phone speaker play an audio message of their choice. And, of course, he was arrested in court papers. In court papers filed after his arrest over the bomb threat, prosecutors noted that Haraz smiled on his live stream as he was arrested, as if he was pleased that his arrest could boost his notoriety. Well, why didn't he do it overseas at an ISIS meeting or an Al-Qaeda meeting and make his bomb threat and see how smiley he would be then? Now Haraz, known as on YouTube as Arab Andy, has been charged with making a bomb threat and faces a potential 10 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. Haraz is one of the IRL streamers of YouTube people who take money in exchange for letting their audience say anything through speakers aimed at unsuspecting people. Given the nature of anonymous internet commentators, those paid comments are often of violent, racist, or threatening. Before the bomb threat, Haraz sat in front of a UW class while a viewer paid for his phone to play the message, black R, the N-word. But the comments can be so lucrative for both streamers and the social media platforms that host them. Haraz, a comparatively little-known live streamer, told police that he had made $1,000 over just a month of live streaming, including $200 made in the 2 hours before his arrest. Haraz made so much money broadcasting user comments that prosecutors wrote that despite his arrest, he has no incentive to stop his activities. Well, maybe like 5 years in jail might change his opinion on that. Or the full 10 years. A GoFundMe purporting to be raising money for Haraz's legal fees has since raised nearly $1,000. Haraz's lawyer declined to comment. Several prominent IRL streamers offer their viewers the option of paying extra for text-to-speech comments, which are then broadcast out of phones or speakers in an attempt to baffle or terrify random bystanders. Those comments turn the most popular live streams into a string of threats, racial slurs, and sexual harassment. Oh, so much fun these people are having. And they're often inflicting on the people who can't just walk away from an encounter like Uber drivers or grocery store employees. Streams from YouTube live streaming personality Asian Andy, who has more than 400,000 subscribers across two YouTube accounts, regularly feature viewers paying to make anti-Semitic, racist, or violent comments in just one trip to a college campus and a grocery store. His viewers paid him to broadcast remarks like "the German people must rise as a master race and all infidels must die" in public. It's no surprise that Haraz is far from the first streamer to have encountered the police. YouTube, which didn't respond to a request for comment, takes an unknown cut of fees paid for super chats for itself. While the site doesn't offer text-to-speech options itself, other services like Streamlabs, a streaming package used by Haraz, can convert YouTube chats into speech comments, while YouTubers broader community guidelines include prohibitions on hateful or violent content and threats. A number of YouTubers' users whose commentators have used their chats to broadcast threats remain on the site. Because of the potential for harassment, Twitch urges streamers not to leave their homes with the text-to-speech option on. Los Angeles-based live streamer Andy McGriff, who has more than 50,000 subscribers on Twitch under the name of Dankquan. Oh, nice name there. Dankquan. Started as a World of Warcraft streamer who rarely left his house, but was drawn into public live streaming by the potential to make more money. While McGriff says streams that offer text to speech can often become the most thrilling streams, they can also attract users looking to get streamers in trouble for just a few dollars. They just want to be the puppeteer to your life, McGriff said. Many of the comments seemed aimed at getting a streamer in trouble with police. McGriff says viewers are sometimes trying to be perversely helpful by generating the kind of drama and controversy that gets attention on the internet. Boy, am I in the wrong business. I need to start making obnoxious comments and going on Twitch and YouTube, and maybe I'll make more money out of this internet thing. It's hard to say what they're wrong sometimes, McGriff says. I can definitely see the pros and cons of getting police called on somebody. I mean, the clip will get a lot of views, and that's that story. Well, I can make some comments right now. This town could use a movie theater. Hopefully that'll get done. It can also use a grocery store downtown that caters to Caucasian people that don't have vehicles and are unwilling to financially, because of financial reasons, move. That's the way it is in this town in southwest Minnesota. And boy, have I been doing this the wrong way to make money. But this guy, I'm sure, is going to spend some jail time to think about doing bomb threats. You can't yell fire in a movie theater. Freedom of speech does have its boundaries. Next, we'll be hitting the ball into the far left field with this topic for your podcast perusal. It is about how to experiment with bisexuality without being a jerk. Women are getting more comfortable coming out as bi, but there's a new way to explore without acting like a newbie. Bisexuality may be having a moment, according to certain studies. Less than half of today's teens say they are straight, and a third identify as bi. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's getting easier to actually be bisexual. For many women, stigma, stereotypes, and occasional inaccurate media representation can make coming out as bi, or even admitting to it yourself, is difficult to navigate. If you're not a celebrity, if you have a serious boyfriend, or if you're a fully grown adult who people assume ought to have this kind of thing figured out by now, the thought of embracing bisexual feelings can be scary. It's hard to know where to start, how to start, and what, if anything, it all means. A study published in Prevention Science found that people who identify as bi often face discrimination from both the heterosexual and gay and lesbian communities, and that resulting isolation puts them at higher risk of anxiety and depression. Arranging a threesome with a stranger on Tinder might seem like the only option, and that's totally cool if you're into it, but it is not the only way to test things out. Being bisexual can be a little more complex than kissing a girl and liking it, and it's never too late to explore who you are, what you want, and what to do about it. Finally, acknowledging and owning your authentic sexuality can be exciting, affirmative, and even transformative for anyone who spent their formative years feeling weird about being bi. I thought I was the only person in the world that felt the way I did. I had been shamed for liking women by friends who didn't understand, and I knew I was the odd one out. Genevieve Lejeune, founder of Bisexual Play Party Skirt Club, quite the club there, told Vice. I had kind of suppressed it for a long time, but once I began to meet other women like me, oh my God, the relief was immense. I wasn't the weirdo anymore. The idea of dating or just making out with another woman, or even just thinking about another girl, can feel new and weird and fun in the same way an awkward teen crush does. But it can also be intimidating when you've never done it before. When you're young, pretty much everyone's sexual behavior is a lot of experimentation, said Heather Corinna, founder of the grassroots sex and relationship education website, Scarlet Teen. Once your teenage and college years, the more socially acceptable time for sexual exploration are behind you, though things can get a little bit more complicated and possibly even more awkward. At first, LeJunion said flirting with other women was impossible. You couldn't walk up to a girl in the bar and say, "Excuse me, are you bisexual? My name is Genevieve." That wasn't appropriate. LeJunion's boyfriend at the time was very open to me about being bi and discovering my bisexuality, she said, but he was ultimately far more interested in getting LeJunion to have a threesome with him and another woman and helping her explore her sexuality. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a threesome with a straight male partner and another woman, but as Corinna explained, threesomes and bisexuality don't necessarily go together, especially threesomes with someone's boyfriend. More times than not, that's all straight people. LeJunion added, "I ended up doing that, and then I started to not feel very comfortable with it." She founded Skirt Club because she wanted to meet women like me without a male audience present. The women who attended Skirt Club parties, LeJunion said, are kind of the same. It's a late 20s, early 30s type. Maybe she's completely straight, but she wants to find out if she's got some tendencies, or maybe she identifies as straight, but every so often she makes out with women. But she thinks of herself as straight, so that's how she's identified herself. Occasionally, outliers include early 20s students with Generation Z, who don't give a flip about anything, or recently divorced moms with adult children, who feel it's finally their turn to experiment. They're the most wild. That's really fun to watch, LeJunion said. I am in and out practicing bisexual woman. When I attended Skirt Club's most recent party in LA, I saw that LeJunion was right. I met women who were engaged and felt this was their final shot at sex with other women. I also met a freaky college-age trust funder and someone who'd flown in from Las Vegas for the sole purpose of eating some first-time pussy. Most of my members are doing this discreetly, LeJunion said. LeJunion. A lot of them are using a pseudonym. They've paid the membership fee, bought lingerie, gotten fully waxed. As soon as the lights in the downtown loft dimmed, women started going at each other with wild abandon. Damn, I have to get out of this. Place to go to that club. I hadn't imagined a woman leaned in to kiss me and almost ripped my lower lip off. Ooh, that might be a little painful. Skirt Club probably wasn't the party for me. I wasn't thrilled by the idea of getting my vaginas sloppily jabbed at by a straight girl who'd never had sex with another woman. I also don't shave my body hair and couldn't imagine that anyone in attendance would be buying what I'm selling. I spent the majority of the night alone. Well, there are guys that do like a little fur on the burger. Yeah, maybe not under the arms, but but I don't think I'm more bisexual than anyone else, or that I'm even that great at sex, or that straight women shouldn't fuck each other if they want to. I know what I like and don't like, though, and I don't feel like the lone novelty queer. As LeJunion pointed out, Skirt Club doesn't claim to be a space for explorations of identity politics or queerness. Gender identity is not something we really get into. We've opened up a community for everyone that wants to explore having sex with a woman, and we haven't said you need to be bisexual. We haven't said that at all. She said everyone's allowed to have sex the way they want to have sex with their own body. Kind of ridiculous to suggest otherwise. However, as Karina pointed out, experimentation with a partner, like it's a theoretical experiment, can be alienating to the other person, who might feel their bisexuality is more than just a sexual preference. Just because someone is realizing that they are or might be bisexual does not mean that they are immune from being internalized All of the tropes and myths about it, Corinna said. When bisexuality is brand new and exciting for someone, she added, they might be inclined to go about it in a similar way as when they're younger, but they have the wisdom of a lot more life experience than they did before, and also everybody is expected to, I don't know, be a little more considerate of each other. Even if sex is just fun and experimentation, you know, you do know that people are vulnerable in sex and sexuality, and you do know that when people are experimenting with each other's body, they're also experimenting with feelings, Corinna added. Before diving right into first-time sex with another woman, Corinna suggests taking a look at online communities like Autostraddle. Never heard of that. Sounds like something with a stick shift involved there, but or Scarlet Teen, and digging into some sex-related books and resources at the library or bookstore. Read by and queer authors, even if you're only planning on a one-night hookup or you're not sure if you actually are bi. It'll make you a better and more prepared sex partner, and you're likely to have way more fun. Corinna also recommends making some queer friends. There's just so many pitfalls to walk into and easy fumbles to make. If you don't have any kind of queer community to buddy up with you, I always thought queer was kind of a word that was not politically correct anymore, but they use it here. Making friends and joining a community also makes it easier to meet other bi or queer people who might want to have sex and even stay friends afterwards. Get to know other bi women, maybe go on a few dates, and if you're new, it's okay to let people know. Ask your potential hookups what they're like and what they're into, and be straightforward about what boundaries lie. Oh yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of rules. Can't do this, can't do that. He can't do this, and he can't do that. Sexual encounters are always improved through honest communication about what exactly is going on and what's about to happen. Sex can just be sex, and experimenting with bisexuality doesn't necessarily call for a total reassessment of identity. Coming out as bisexual or queer may not be safe for everyone, or they might not want to align themselves with mainstream LGBTO movements. Yeah, I think someday our bathrooms and public places are going to have all that script on there for male, female, LGBT, transsexual, transvestite, whatever. You know, it's all going to be on the bathroom door. It's okay to just be bi, whether or not that means you even identify with the same sex or gender. There are bi folks who view mainstream LGBT rights as being very whitewashed and without an agenda that addresses the material conditions of being poor and working class or black and brown. Said, boy, this is a, I'm going to butcher this name, but I'll give it a try. Herkuti Williams, an author, sex educator, and laboratory sociologist. They love who they want to love, enter into a relationship with people they choose. They experience their sexualities in all of its complexity and beauty. But don't believe sexuality is the primary source of affinity that they have with other people. Still, as Corinna points out, finding community can be helpful and affirming for many bi-curious or questioning people. My community has really been meaningful to me, Corinna added. The friendships I have that are not sexual are a really important part of my life, and to some degree, they're my family. There's no right or wrong way to be bisexual, and learning something new about the kind of sex you like can be scary, but conscious sexual exploration can also be fun and liberating. I view bi curiosity as an awakening to the idea that a person doesn't have to accept the limitations imposed upon people. Though heterosexism and homono... Williams said people get to explore and examine the degree of which they are erotically, sensually, romantically, and or sexually moved by multiple or other genders. Accepting the spectrum of sexuality, instead of limiting ourselves and others to narrow categories like gay, straight, and bi, is liberating, he added. The labels as nouns are less useful than as adjectives and adverbs that describe people, places, things, and actions. They allow for a recognition of the diverse and complicated ways we move in the world as human beings. And here I'm just looking for an attractive woman to just go up to and say, hey, how you doing? And make it all this complicated, you know. Yep, someday it's going to be everyone's allowed in the bathroom. I remember when Ellen DeGeneres interviewed Caitlyn Jenner. It used to be Bruce Jenner. I think she's had the whole plumbing overhaul, but I'm not sure on that. But she was almost pleading with her to become a real big advocate for gay marriage across the land. It was kind of funny how she was trying to get her to fess up that she was. And I don't think she realized that Bruce, now Caitlin, was like a generation older, and it might not appeal to him to have it be that way. You know, in his generation, it was a man and a woman, and the convention for the most part. So I don't know. Maybe we should just all be born with both male and female body parts, so it'd just be easier for everyone to experiment. But that's that story for your consideration. Well, by the looks of the clock on the wall, it's time to call Black Alert. I would like to thank you, and especially you for listening today. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster and email me at randyms12@gmail.com, my Facebook page, and everything else. And thanks if you listen by iPad, pod, or phone, MP3 player, laptop, desktop, however you listen, thank you. And I hope you have a pleasant evening tonight and a happy ending tomorrow. Or whatever that else works out for you. Bye-bye, folks. Until next time.